Hallelujah, it's rain and men and women, in case you're into that. You are listening to episode number 205 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Woo!
Yes!
Two snaps!
And back. The name.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First and foremost, congratulations to the Supreme Court of the United States, a.k.a. SCOTUS, for finally making a decision that makes millions and millions of people happy. One, in fact, affordable health care for everybody. Two, everybody, no matter, can get married, no matter what your gender or your sexual orientation, I guess the same thing. But whatever, the point is, you can love anybody, you can get married across all 50 states, and fuck you if you disagree otherwise. You guys have anything to say about this monumental decision before we move on to official stuff?
It's rainbow-tastic!
Taste the flavor.
Taste the flavor.
All joking aside, I'm glad to see that it happened, because I thought it's always been a big piece of crap, you know, that they don't have the same rights for that. It's just showing them that they can have the same opportunities and stuff for their partners and them. You know, it's long overdue. Half the world's got the rights for them, so why can't we join the rest of the world, you know? But otherwise, yes.
You know, the rest of the world, you know, half of the world still doesn't recognize it. So, if anything, we kind of made almost 50% of the world. But I will say, I support that. I'm all for gays finally being able to be as unhappy as everybody else. That's right.
I agree.
They get the right to get married and have fucked up relationships.
Just like the rest of us.
Divorces. Yes. Just like the fat mannish one that I think is sexy. Rosie O'Donnell. She's going through a nasty divorce right now.
Damn.
So, you know, everybody can do that.
Gay divorce.
Go gay people.
Gay divorce court is going to be a funny TV show.
There's a new rule where if you come into America, you automatically have to marry a man. They have spare gays at the airport if you need one. All right.
No, two snaps.
All right, but enough political talk.
I do support it, so, you know,
yes.
Congrats to you guys, and, you know, have fun in your unhappiness.
Welcome to the miserables, people. All right, so let's move on to some comic book news, as obviously we're in the thick of Secret Wars, but just like with any event, right around the midpoint, we start hearing news of stuff that's going to happen afterwards, so basically we know everybody's going to turn out right. Well, first and foremost, basically, we are going to have a new book definitely on the shelves called, funny enough, referencing, to Taser's review of Squadron Sinister from last week. But Squadron Supreme proper is actually going to be relaunched under James Robinson and Leonard Kirk, the same people who I believe were doing the other what were they doing before this? They were doing something.
The Invaders, I think.
The Invaders, there you go. So let's see what this says about this. Some of classic icons, obviously they're a ripoff of the Justice League or a parody of the Justice League. As for some reason, I hate when ads pop up out of nowhere when you're trying to look at a website. Obviously, the Squadron Supreme characters have become more prominent under Jonathan Hickman's run with the introduction of Hyperion. Hyperion was the big one. I can't think of any other.
That's the only one he used.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough. That's what I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
That's
look,
enough.
If you looked at Hyperion.
Created by Roy Thomas and John Buscema in 1971. I don't want to email to your subscription. Okay, okay. First of all, I'm going to say this once. CBR, I have clicked. I'm not interested several fucking times. You fix your goddamn website to recognize my IP address so it doesn't ask me that shit again. Okay, so this is going to be a reboot of the series. In terms of characters, the attitude is that they've lost their own worlds and they've got to save this world no matter what. So at times it will put them in odds with the Avengers. They're willing to do what things that turn people off. They aren't necessarily adverse to degree of damage, collateral damage. They can seem a little cold-blooded and ruthless, but their idea is we have to save the planet. If that means we have to sacrifice a few people to do it, we will. You know what that sounds like to me? The Elite from the Action Comics 775.
That's
what it sounds like to me, which I have no history with the Squadron Supreme other than they are a clear parody of the Justice League. But I'm going to go to my gentleman over here. What do you guys think about a relaunching of New Squadron Supreme? Granted, the last time we got a Squadron Supreme book, it was under the Max line and not under Marvel Universe proper. So what do you think about this move, guys?
I'm happy because I've always liked the Squadron Supreme. I mean, the last time I actually read anything regular of them was way back in the early 80s when they crossed over with the Defenders. And that was my first taste of them when I was like, the hell is Marvel doing with Superman and all this, but not being Superman and all that. But it was cool. It blew my mind. You know, they had these characters similar, but not similar, you know, much like Gladiator under John Byrne's run, you know, was very, you know, like Superman with a mohawk. But I'm glad to see it because I've always liked this group. Every time, and it'll be nice to see how they react to the new reality and their place in the world. So, and I like Hyperion's one of my favorite characters. So I'll be glad to see how they do him and the rest of the group. So,
there we go. it's still debatable whether I give Marvel Comics, you know, 2 minutes of my time, you know, per week anymore, you know, depending on how shit plays out when Secret Wars is finished. The Squadron Supreme having a book, even if it's a mini, I don't know. I'm not enthused. I don't hate the idea. It's just, yay. You know, I didn't read the story that John mentions until like a lot later in my comic career. I started with that maxi series from, I don't even remember who wrote it because I didn't pay attention.
Mark Gruenwald. Are you talking about that back in the 80s?
Yeah,
in the 80s. Yeah, that was Gruenwald.
That makes sense because that was some serious storytelling there. Mm-hmm. And I actually recommend that for anybody who wants that. That's actually a nice Justice League via the Marvel storytelling a handle right there. I recommend that book. But yeah, I read that and I read Straczynski, I think it was, or whoever.
Yeah, JMS. Yeah.
Yeah, JMS.
Those were the first adult.
I liked it though. You know, I thought the one where what was it? Where Nightwing meets Apollo or whatever the fuck. I thought that was kind of bullshit because Nighthawk just kind of bitch smacks what's his name, Superman clone, and sends him like kind of rolling, and I'm wait, this dude managed to survive dive bombing a base from space. F you, you know, he caught him with a hit and it sent him rolling, and then at the end of the book it was like, well, how did this happen? It was like, oh, well, it was all a psychosomatic thing, some bullshit, like but the stories were decent, you know. Since they
eliminated that whole Spectrum's look.
Dr. Spectrum was such a dick.
I know, but I like his look. I like the whole concept of
Dr. Oh yeah, Spectrum. with the flight outfit and the thing. Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't bad. I still like the Blur. The Blur was absolutely my favorite character.
Is the Blur shown in a preview image of any of these?
He was on the cover, and then they, you know, they didn't use him at all inside that last book I reviewed last week, for whatever reason. But anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I need to see it, you know, and again, judge my feelings based on how Secret Wars all pans out to determine whether it gets any of my time. So I'm going to take a wait and see. You know, I'm not going to hate on it, but That's all I got.
Okay, so let us know what you guys think about a new Squadron Supreme book. I hope it pokes fun at DC a lot. I feel like that could be like a great vehicle to maybe not like a joke book, but like take subtle jabs at the DC universe. Cause I feel like that's what the purpose of their characters are. I could be wrong, but
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
I could be wrong, but I feel like
In a
it's
way, yeah.
like it's a way of Marvel to get their hands of that is the pristine. I mean, it worked better back in the day because like the Justice League was truly that group of. We are the best of the best, and we are the champions of champions. We are noble. Versus now, everybody's fucked up. Zatanna's mind wiping people. Superman stepped people's necks. Wonder Woman is horny. I don't fucking know.
Woohoo!
It's
Yay!
all
Cats and dogs living together.
yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
No dick.
One of the
No
greatest lines in movie history.
dick.
So let's
That's
move
how it's
on
working.
from a new ongoing to another new ongoing, starting everybody's favorite Green Hulk. The Hulk. There's a new Hulk coming out after Secret Wars, which will be reuniting Greg Pak, who returning writer Greg Pak is coming back to the title, which he was on, and eventually that turned into Incredible Hercules. Greg Pak's actually the writer who did Incredible
World
Hulk and World War Hulk, so he has experience. Joined by artist Frank Cho, which is, yes, because I love when he draws. With the new title, which is the only thing I hate about this announcement. The totally awesome Hulk. And in fact, they're keeping the Hulk identity as a mystery. And we won't, and it's not coming out till late 2015. Let's imagine a November, December release. It's fucking Amadeus Cho. It's Greg Pak returning to the character. Greg Pak's the one who created that character. Greg Pak has a history with Hulks. It's going to be and the fact that it's called Totally Awesome Hulk. I mean, it's not Rick Jones. I don't believe it's Rick Jones. I would feel like it's a waste of opportunity to turn Rick Jones into the Hulk because I feel like that should have been done a long time ago. And to me, it makes much more sense for it to be Amadeus Cho. That's the rumor that's going around. Marvel has neither confirmed or denied this, but I think it'll be. I think it's Amadeus Cho. You guys think about this? About the Hulk?
Do not care. Just do
I'm
not care.
kind of the same way. Other than Harry hearing that Greg Pak's coming back to the title, that kind of jazzes me. But otherwise, hearing the awesome, totally awesome Hulk, and I'm like, first time I heard that, I was having images of the Hulk's, skateboarding, doing ollies and half pipes and everything else,
1080.
and I'm just like. Really, Marvel? I mean, don't get me wrong, you got a good creative team on it, so I'm gonna give it a look at when it comes out. But otherwise, I'm just like, could have named it better. I mean,
It's
are we running
like at least
out?
Indestructible Hulk like applied to the character. I mean, maybe it'll apply to this new Hulk as well, but it just doesn't fit the guy.
Yeah,
Like
it just
it just doesn't like that's the only thing issue I have with it is the name. Just the title just sounds so something ripped straight out of 1994.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I'm just gonna. It's a wait again. Like a lot of the stuff that's coming out. I mean, when you told me off deal before we came on, and we're having Venom Space Night, I was like, did I hear that right? And we're gonna be seeing a cross between Rom and Venom now. And I just was like, no.
I don't even know who
But
the fuck Rom is, but whatever.
oh dear God, yeah. Well, long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. Back in the 80s, there was a comic called Rom Space Knight, based off of a Parker Brothers license that they don't have anymore.
Oh, so
But
that's
it
why
was,
they can't use ROM. Ah.
but it's it was a good title.
Yeah,
it spread
I
out
respect
into a
that one a
lot
lot
of
more.
it spread out into a lot of other Marvel titles during the 80s with the dire rates and stuff. So I highly recommend looking for that run and reading it. It was pretty good. And so when I hear Space Knight, that's what I think of is Rom, not Venom. But we'll have to see. Wait and see.
Okay. So any
Everything.
so nothing so no no cares about this new Hulk guy.
No
Not really.
cares have I to give.
Wonder what's gonna happen to Banner. Wonder what's
Who?
he's supposed to be the new Iron Man, supposedly.
Is he? Is that the
Rumors.
rumor floating around? Really? He's going to be, but they've mentioned Tony Stark.
Well, that's why I'm saying
He'll have
rumors.
built it, and Banner's the one who piloted.
That's so odd.
It's so post-Secret Wars.
Oh, that's like, whatever. Let's
all new, all different Marvel.
If you're going to use Banner, keep him what he does best, and that's the Hulk. Well, speaking of continuing things, the much very, not I don't, I didn't say popular, but the heralded is what I'll say. A-Force is apparently, yes, will be an ongoing series with a new number one, which is really, really dumb. Considering A-Force number 2 hasn't even come out yet, and it's already coming in number 1. At the time, it's going to be Marguerite Bennett, who was the co-writer of it, but she's not coming back. It's just going to be current Miss Marvel writer G. Willow Wilson, who will be leading the book by herself, as well as officially confirmed return artist who basically did the first issue. Hey, Melina will be returning to the book. And I really liked A-Force number 1. We've talked about A-Force number 1. Also, Spider-Gwen's coming back, but I don't like Spider-Gwen, so we're not gonna. I'm gonna say brief on Spider-Gwen, and same with A-Force. It is really dumb to relaunch these series when they just got fucking started. You know, I'm not against relaunches. I understand why relaunches happen. They literally just got fucking started. Spider-Woman, like when they announced that Spider-Gwen was coming back. It was barely the fish issue just barely came out. You're telling me you just can't keep the same number? Just say part one of the introductory arc. That's all you gotta do. Or even A-Force is even worse with only 2 issues out and it's already gonna get a new number one. Like that's the only issue I have with it. Other than that, the only issue I have is how are you gonna make this team feel organic and make it feel unique? Because it works within the world of Secret of Battle World and how they've constructed everything and why all these women of Marvel are together.
Themyscira,
based Paradise Island, in which everything's better because women rule the world. But I'm just wondering how it's gonna work post Secret Wars, and I'll definitely look at it because I like the art. I don't think the team's gonna be the same. I think the team's gonna be much more condensed. Because it's a large roster right now. I don't think you're gonna have them, or if it's not, it's gonna have fluctuating members. But either way, I'll give it a shot. What do you guys think about Girl Power?
Yay! Yeah. Girl Power! Yay!
I liked the first issue. I have not seen the second one, but
drops this week.
Oh, jeez.
Yay!
I'm detecting very great excitement over in the Taser camp.
You know, this book was... You know, I don't have a problem with an all-female cast book. You know, because I liked that X-Men book where it was mostly just the chicks and every once in a while looking
X-Men,
at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the X-Men had it right and they just called it X-Men and not X-Women. Yeah. Versus and this is A-Force.
Exactly. You know, which stands for angst, I guess, or something. Or maybe it's just A is an upside down V for vagina. I don't know. Anyway. Like I said, I don't have a problem with, you know, an all-female team, but that first issue I read was boring. It really was. It was, you know, a whole hodgepodge of female characters thrown together, you know, in Secret World 2.0, actually 3.0's Battle World 2.0, and yay, females who support and protect their domain and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. It didn't inspire, you know, that it gets that it gets its own ongoing or at least something that hopefully makes it past 24 months or issues rather. I support it, you know. I think now's a good time to start trying to press that dynamic, you know, a team where it's, you know, mostly if not all females, and show them as capable and being able to handle stuff without needing the man to come in and save their day. It's like, haha, stupid females. Now, I've saved your life. Now go in the kitchen and make me some pie and prepare yourselves for the turning, you know, or whatever. I support that, but, you know, the writing for that book was just dull. You know, it was dull and it so... Did the creative team change, or is it still the same
team?
It's
the only person who's leaving is one of the co-writers. So basically, it's still, and she was Yeah, for the most part, it's still the same. Just one less person.
Is it one less female or one less male?
Well, it's two female writers, so yeah, and the artist is a male. So
there we go. So I don't know. The art, I had no problem with the art. The art was you know, it got the job done. I had no problems with the art whatsoever. And I don't want to say that because that was the guy, but it was really just, it was bland.
Oh,
you know?
No, Nina Sarkeesian's going to be on us. Oh, whatever shall we do?
You mean the chick who makes accusations without any, you know, proof to back up her claims?
Yeah, the one who blocked me on Twitter?
Well, that's because you kept inviting her to have a conversation.
No, I just kept arguing her against her merits, which I
thought
was
troll.
Yeah.
Troll!
Yeah, I'm a troll. Yeah, I'm a troll. I'm the asshole, but let's not get on track. Let's get off track. Let's get back to A4.
I was nice seeing her asshole, but anyway. No, I support books like this. I'm all behind it. I just make it interesting. That's all I care about.
Okay.
You know, make the book interesting. Don't make it. I don't want a whole lot of feelings. I want, hey, look, this meteor is about to crash into our part of Battleworld. We have to go stop it. And the big monster that just threw it. Yeah, let it be 22 pages of that rather than 2 pages of that and the other 20 of them talking about, you know, their stuff and what this one did and, you know, stuff and talking and blah. Because that's not a comic. That's, you know, a drama. I don't read comics for drama. I read comics for action.
All right.
Yes.
John, did you want to add something to this?
No, I'm just going to say that it's a wait and see. I like the first issue or two, and we'll just have to see how it goes after. I do agree that it's kind of ridiculous to be doing some of this renumbering crap this early, but that's what they've been doing, and their attention span's getting shorter every year. So soon it's going to be nothing but number ones.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Speaking of a final bit of news.
That's what happens in a reboot.
Speaking of number ones, boys, we finally have a Spider-Man.
Woo-hoo!
Contrary to popular reports, Asa Butterfield is not, in fact, the going to be Spider-Man in upcoming Sony Pictures / Marvel co-feature development, as well as apparently a cameo in Civil War, what the rumors will say. But apparently it's actor Tom Holland, along with director John Watts for the new Spider-Man movie set for 2017, I believe. July 28, 2017. Oh, directed by John Watts, director of Cop Car, which was the comedy that came out almost about a year ago, I think. Marvel and Sony Pictures and producers Kevin Feige and Pasquale conducted an extensive research actors. I don't know who this guy is. But also, we got some more stuff. It's Kevin Feige teases some more stuff about the Spider-Man reboot comparing it to John Hughes, and he teases new villains. It's a soap opera in high school, and those hot supporting characters that are interesting, just as we hadn't seen a heist movie in a long time or a shrinking movie in a long time. We haven't seen a John Hughes movie in a long time. Not that we can make a John Hughes movie, only John Hughes could, but we're inspired by him, and we're merging with the superhero genre in a way we haven't done before. So basically, this confirms this will be 16-year-old Peter Parker in high school. Don't fucking do the origin. I swear to God, if you fucking do the origin.
Teen drama. Yeah. We're going to get an origin.
Look, I can deal with the teen drama because the drama goes with Spider-Man. I can deal with that shit. It's the fact that, let's just him, like, 6 months already, like, Uncle Ben already in the grave, you know, Aunt May already needing medicine from the cabinets, whatever. Let's not do the origin. We know the origin. That's all I'm asking. This doesn't say they're doing the origin, but it just has me worried that they're actually doing this. And it's interesting that they're comparing it to John Hughes movies. Obviously, John, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, a bunch of other movies I'm thinking. But those are two big ones that people think of when they think of John Hughes, who was a very, very famous director. Does he make movies anymore? I don't think he has in a long time. Or is he dead? It's hard to keep track of who's dead, who's not dead.
I think John Hughes is dead.
Is he dead?
I think he did. I think so.
Okay, well, rest in peace, John Hughes.
At least his career is. Oh.
Ha! Because wasn't he the one that did Uncle Buck?
I believe.
He did Uncle Buck. He also did the Home Alone.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, he passed away. Yeah.
All right.
He passed away in 2009.
He also basically teased, like, our current Sony deal is very specific. We're producing the standalone film with a certain amount of back and forth allowed. So it's probably going to feel more it's probably getting connected, but not as connected as, say, the big Avengers movie. It'll probably be like Daredevil, where it's connected, but they're not going to be like the next chapter of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I don't know where he teases new villains though.
Long as there's no more fucking goblins, that's all I care
Yeah,
about.
that's another thing.
No origin, no
No
goblins.
origin, no goblins. Keep fucking
No
killing off.
Osborns.
Yeah. Also,
Unless it's
Mary
us.
Jane. Also, one rec one. I don't know who Tom Holland is. I don't know who he is. I've seen him. I've seen his pictures, but I don't know child teenage actors. I mean, look, all I'm asking is kid guy, because he's probably at least 10 years younger than me. He's probably gonna make more money than me in my lifetime. But just have him quip, have Spider-Man have the personality. That's all I want. You know, that's the one thing I liked about the Amazing Spider-Man series, the two movies it got, was of how actually, what's his name, Andrew Garfield felt like he, like, you know, Spider-Man quipping, you know? Spider-Man doesn't shut the fuck up to save his life. And I want that attitude to be brought back. If there's one thing I want brought back is that. And since Marvel's kind of having hand in it, I have no confidence. I have very, very, a lot of confidence, I mean, that it's going to be brought back. Also, how much money do they have to pay just to bring J.K. Simmons back as J. Jonah Jameson? Because there's no other actor who can do that better. I don't care who they are. There's no better actor that
I
could.
couldn't name anybody offhand,
Yeah,
to be
I mean,
perfectly honest.
he was perfectly
like
cast.
he captured the, I mean, one, the look, the attitude, just bring back J.K. Simmons. Congratulations to Tom Holland. You beat out Asa Butterfield. You
That's
know,
a bit of a
yeah, but you know,
asshole.
I don't know who this director is. I don't know who Tom Holland is, but hey, if it were for Christopher Reeve at one point, why not? Why can't lightning strike twice? You know?
True.
What do you guys think about the new Spider-Man as well as the whole feeling of a John Hughes movie?
I'm going to say this, and I've already reiterated it, but I'm going to reiterate it one more time. No fucking origin story, unless it's just like a 5 second, 5 minute thing, but during the credits.
Like the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah. No, and no gosh darn friggin' Harry Osborn, Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, Black Goblin, Blue Goblin.
Hobgoblin?
Maybe the Hobgoblin in passing. But otherwise, no Osborns, no Green Goblin,
Devil Goblin?
the same there. No Dr. Octopus, because
Nothing we've
unless you
seen
play,
before, basically.
pretty much, and
Mysterio, Kraven the Hunter.
he's got a lot of people
Actually, I
begging
wouldn't
use.
mind Mysterio.
I think
Mysterio, Kraven
Mysterio's
the
the one
Hunter.
everybody thought Bruce Campbell was Mysterio.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I know they were going to be, they were hinting at him in the two amazing films, but that we'll never see, hide, nor hear of that plot line. But
Vulture? Well, Vulture's not really, I wouldn't call the Vulture lead material, but
hey, if he's done right, he would, when he first
as
started.
a lead, though, no. Vulture works in a
Vulture
pair
and the
in Jonah
Shocker
Doom
better.
movie.
I could actually dig that.
That's not too bad, actually.
Taser goes for the Shocker. I'll be, I go for the Hulk.
The Shocker.
I'm getting bald, so I can be the bald old guy, wearing the wings and, swoop down on the "you young whippersnapper," that kind of thing.
Okay,
But
Mr.
excellent.
Burns.
I'm otherwise, I'm just going to be wait and see, because I'm just jazzed that it's going to be this. I have a feeling that Marvel's going to have more say in it than Sony ever will. I think Sony's doing this as a save of face, so to speak. They've got my interest, and so far as we've seen, Marvel Cinematic has hit them pretty much all out the park. Even the ones that might have misfired, and was still fairly entertaining. And they got me hyped up for Ant-Man, for God's sakes. We'll just have to see how that goes. But I'm not familiar with either the actor or the director. But I've have heard good things from what I've been reading since they've cast and came out with the information, so I'm all for it. I like a Spider-Man film. I liked the Amazing Spider-Man movies, although I will agree, make Spider-Man quip, and you'll have me be happy, And bring back J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
All right, Taser, you have anything to say about the Spider-Man news?
I actually would have liked asshole butter up butt fucker no whatever yeah buttermilk biscuit the kid from
buttery biscuit base
what was that movie that came out 2 years ago?
Ender's Game.
There you go. That's it. I thought he would have played a pretty decent young Peter Parker. You know, high school age. I thought that would have been, you know, like a great target, you know, age, role for him. But you know, they went a different direction. I don't know this actor. I don't know the director. I'm not really too concerned about, you know, what their past work is. I'm only concerned with what they do here moving forward. So all's well as, you know, all in good. I've been honest and upfront about how much I did like both Amazing Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2. And I agree with Iggy. Please keep him fluid and vocally active, you know, very, very much so, because Tobey Maguire really wasn't so much. And I mean, he tossed out stuff every now and again, but British kid, yeah, he really kind of threw it out there. And I loved how they had him move. That's another thing I think that is important. Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, he really moved around. They knew how. They captured Spider-Man. Uh-huh. You know, I really liked how they did him in those two movies, which I'm still sad that they're not doing a third one for whatever reason. Projections be damned. Fuck you. It's a movie that hasn't happened yet. Anyway, I do hope that they capture his movement, they capture his attitude, and they also show him solving the problem. You know, like, remember that scene in ASM 2 when Times Square, what's his name, Black Dude with the electric, thank you, was all getting all sparkly and flipping out, and you had those people that were on the metal stands, and he saw the lightning arc towards it, and everything was, like, moving around in slow motion, and you knew this was him figuring out exactly what he had to do. And then when you see it, when it starts up, you see him take action, and he solves the problem. I love that, because to me, that's Spider-Man. You know, I could give a rat's ass about Peter Parker, because Peter Parker is stupid and a pussy. Okay, I don't need the teen drama. That he's a teen, fine, fuck it, I could work with it. But I'm not there for Peter Parker. I'm there to see the guy in the red blue webbed outfit get beat on, and save lives. You know, if you nail Spider-Man for me, I'm good. You know, I'll put up with whatever teen drama bullshit, you know, work-related, J.J. Jameson yelling at this kid over pictures or whatever the fuck they want to do. You nail Spider-Man, I'll be happy. That's really it.
All right.
So, yeah, there you go.
The question is, who do they go with, MJ or Gwen?
Neither. Why does he have to have one?
Because
he didn't originally.
Because
go with Betty Brant.
Because trademark.
Which means what? They don't have to have.
Look, I want to see Gwen Stacy. Okay,
I want to see her. I like Gwen Stacy too, but what I'm saying is, you don't have to establish romantic interest in the first movie.
Yeah,
she can come in the second.
They don't, but they will. So that's the question. They're going
you know?
To. So play the fucking game, Gwen or Jake.
No,
Gwen or MJ.
Fuck that.
Play the fucking
game.
Play
the game. That's how you stand out. Not playing the game.
Betty Brant.
No romantic interest. Or you know what? If you want to be original, do the Multiman sister. She actually went to the fucking high school.
Liz Allen. Yeah.
Yes.
Fine.
There you go.
Fine.
You know, but don't make her an interest. Just make her somebody on the fringe.
No, they're
and then break her heart
to do it, though. They're going to do it.
And that's another villain I would like to see is Molten Man.
Actually, Molten Man would not be bad for a second movie.
Look, just give me Kraven the Hunter. That's who I really fucking want. I want to see Kraven the Hunter.
Well, we want Shocker and Vulture, damn.
Well, Kraven, look, we got four right there. We got Kraven the Hunter, we got Vulture, we got Shocker, and we got Mysterio. I think Mysterio is the big one that they should do. Mysterio is the one they need to do.
No,
he provides something we haven't seen before. We got Reinhardt.
I want flesh and blood.
No, Rhino. You're not going to get Rhino. You're going to get Mecha Rhino. You're going to be happy with it.
Fuck wreck.
You're going to get
Spider-Mobile.
You want a Spider-Mobile?
Spider-Mobile.
You want a Spider-Mobile?
Taser knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that means that the Spider-Mobile, and not only that, I want the robot. Uh-huh.
I want him to have the flashlight on the belt.
That would not be bad.
I want that.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
On the belt? Bring that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Now and we're making a demands for Amazing Spider-Man, for whatever it's going to be called. I hope they call it Spectacular Spider-Man. I want them to call it that. But call it.
Give him the web wings.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Ooh, yeah, the web wings.
Yeah, give him the web wings.
Yeah.
Make it look different. Make it like... Make it look similar to the Amazing Spider-Man. Just add the web wings. There you go.
Yep.
Because Amazing Spider-Man 2 costume was fucking amazing.
Definitely.
It's the best superhero costume on screen. But enough of that.
No.
Superman. I don't know about that.
That's for you, Superman.
That's debatable.
Sorry.
That's debatable.
Nails it. Perfectly nails it.
I did.
All right. Well, let's move on to our book of the week as Secret Wars charges on. Our book of the week this week, because I decided to indulge myself a little bit, which is Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies.
Did you say Asian Ultron?
Yes, I did. Agent Ultron. This is a book of the week is Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number one, written by James Robinson, art by Steve Puch. And the only reason I decided to pick this up and make this book of the week is because of the reveal of issue one, that behind the wall you had, one, Annihilus, who was only briefly mentioned in this issue, and two, you also have Perfection, I believe it's called, and then the Deadlands, which is where the Marvel Zombies are from. And really what we get here is basically the origin story for how both of these worlds sort of, how they're constantly clashing. We get Tigra, whichever Tigra this is sent over the wall, and she gets caught in the middle of a very, like, it's almost kind of like fan fiction, and then the Marvel Zombievite versions fight Ultron robots. It's almost fan fiction level kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And we get the origin story of both the zombies and the Ultron AI, in one universe, which I'm assuming it's the universe with the Age of Ultron, that whatever that universe is, like, we see Ultron officially take over, and what's weird is that we get, like, sort of a Western Hank Pym that investigates the wall with a Western Janet Van Dyne and Michael Morbius, of all people.
That was Janet? I thought that was Rogue.
Is that Rogue?
Janet.
It's Janet, yeah. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Actually, that makes sense, but I just heard... Yeah. Her talking felt like Rogue to me, but fair enough.
Well, I mean, they're all talking like a odd dude to Clea. Well, I mean, they're supposed to be Western.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
But the thing is, like, Rogue is Southern, not Western. Western is different. No, it's not.
It's not New York. Same thing.
Well, the artist, Steve Pugh, he draws a beautiful old school Sentinel. I like just look at his Sentinel. It looks like it's a little bit more touched up modern wise, but it still has the aesthetics of the big goofy head. I want him to draw some more Sentinels. Maybe I'll commission him to draw me a Sentinel. So basically, Hank Pym is in the Deadlands looking for something. What is he looking for again? I don't even remember. He's doing something. I mean, it's Hank Pym with Ultron, so that's all you really have to know. And he's dropped in there, and he actually comes across a zombie feeding of Rhino. And I think that's supposed to be the owl?
No, it was zombie Rhino and owl feeding over, I think, an Ultron.
Yeah. No, I mean, I knew who Rhino was. I think that was Ultimate, another Rhino. It wasn't the normal Rhino we're used to, though.
It's no, that was.
It was?
Ultimate Rhino. Ultimate Rhino was the one in the suit.
That's right.
That was Rhino 616.
Okay. Yeah. So he's about to be attacked. Little known, he's joined by the Vision, Jim Hammond, the Human Torch, as well as 70s Wonder Man. And how would you like to change the world? So what's interesting is that when we established this in the first one, it's like if you go over the wall, you're pretty much fucking dead. But it looks like some people who have been sent over the wall have managed to survive. And possibly there's a resistance group out there, which I find that kind of cool. So I was kind of, like, I thought this issue was going to be just a one-off. I'm like, let's just see the, like, zombies fight robots. That's really what it is. But there's a bigger thing to it, and I don't think it'll tie into the overall big scheme of battle of Secret Wars. But for a nice little side story of exploring of a possible okay, maybe not resistance movement, because how are they going to get back over the wall? But, well, I mean, the wall is going to come down anyway, so maybe that's how they do. But how, what is life like in basically hell for in terms of this world, you know? So, yeah. I mean, it wasn't the best issue I ever read, but it was definitely a lot of fun. It was entertaining, and I liked the end. And also 70s Wonder Man's bitchin' trench coat. So I give it a 3 out of 5. It was a pretty good issue. Taser, you go next.
I will say the art was actually pretty solid in this one. I liked his take on Hank Pym as kind of your traveling salesman type, you know, with the derby and, you know, the full coat and everything. You know, it looked like a snake oil seller, as, you know, he mentioned in that, I think it was like that second panel or whatever. Walking along the shield wall, and he comes, I still say it's fucking Rogue, but comes across Janet and Morbius, and, you know, it's like, hey, your ass is getting tossed. Where you want to go? Because we, you know, because I like you so much, I figured, well, I could afford you your spot of where to get dumped off to die. And naturally, you know, they discuss his options, and, you know, he says, hey, robots, golly gee willikers, that sounds like the place for me, you know. And it boggled my mind that he thought, the idea that he was going to die was like so far in the back of his head. He seemed like the type that, if I could just get in contact with the robot, all of my dreams will come true, despite the fact that the robots want to kill you too. He doesn't even really consider that. And naturally, he has to run into the thing that he doesn't want to, which is zombies. I thought it was an interesting take on the character. It did make me smile at parts because of his naivete and recognizing the situation that he was in as he's being chased, you know. And then the finisher, when you have basically the Simon Williams brain crew, when you stop and think about who all yeah. those guys show up, you know, the Simon Williams brain scan crew, you know, show up and they start talking about, hey, you know, we're blah, 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 and I saved your life, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of went, yeah. So it was an entertaining book. You know, I won't lie, it didn't really feel like a book that I would get the second issue of, though. So I'll be forced to give this book, I guess, a 3.4 Warriors out of 5. You know, it was better than Midland, but not a whole much of for me. I think that if you're in the book and if you're in the mood for something maybe different than what you normally get, then give this one a try. You know, it can't hurt. But for me, yeah, this is a one and done.
Okay, fair enough. John, what did you think of Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number 1?
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, when I first saw that it was going to be the book of the week, I was like, oh my God. Two of the things that I probably like the least of the whole of what Marvel has done over the last few years. Age of Ultron, you know, better, less said about that storyline, the better. And Marvel Zombies, which started out strong and then just got ridiculous. I have to admit, I was pleasantly surprised. It was just, you know, seeing robots tearing into zombies and that kind of thing was hilarious. I was not expecting to see Hank Pym, you know, the all-gush shucks man, you know, Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne. And it was so good to see a old-style Sentinel, like you said. It was entertaining. I will give it a – and I will probably pick up the second issue just to see how they do it, because I you had three of my favorite Marvel characters on the ending right there. Like you said, the Pym brain trust. I give it a 4 point. I give it four stars out of 5. I thought it was cool.
All right, then. So there you go. That's our reviews for Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies, number one. Let us know what you thought of the issue and if you're going to pick up more. So let's move on to more Battle World tie-ins, because even though we don't mean to do it, that's the only fucking thing that's coming out now. So deal with it, fucking people. All right, so let's going to go ahead. John's going to go first with the next chapter of Ultimate End number two.
Yes, pretty much you have it where, you know, from the previous issue, you saw the Thors coming in. You know, because they figured something was up, and the people are telling them, hey, and they're like, nope, you're gonna, Doom wants to make it clear you're not to, you know, do anything. You're not gonna do anything. You're not gonna mess with things. Do not question his authority. Do not challenge it. And everybody was like, well, we can take care of it. But then the Thors are like, nope, this is law. This will be obeyed. Do not challenge this. And Ultimate Hawkeye, may he rest in peace for infinite stupidity to, you know. You know, be bitchy towards, you know, a legion of Thors. He goes, I do challenge this. We didn't do this. This happened to us. And I'm a free-thinking, fully shaboom, lightning bolt out of nowhere, and he gets completely Crisco'd. Basically doing his impression of the new Human Torch in the next movie, briefly. And, yeah, ba-dum-chink. And everybody's just like, oh, my God. And Scarlet Witch is, like, all shocked. Everybody was shocked and sad. Then you see that both Tonys are talking to each other, and Ultimate Tony's trying to go, you know, we might as well just drink and just blow, you know, everything. But you know what? We need to do this. We didn't see it coming, but we need to work together. The scene was kind of for me. I think the best scene so far that I've seen in the book was you got to see our Peter Parker re-meet up with the Ultimate Gwen Stacy and Ultimate Aunt May. And because that was one of my favorite parts of Spider-Man, back when they had where Peter and Miles first met. And just seeing that they're talking to each other and, you know, not sure what the protocol is, you know, and kind of, you know, being awkward with everything. And it was a cute, cool moment. And it's one of the things about Ultimates and Ultimate Universe and that I miss. At the end of it, you see the raft, which is the, you know, the maximum security installation. They have too many prisoners and people are telling, the officials are telling people they don't are not equipped with holding everybody. And then you see the Punisher sitting there. I'm going to presume it's like Ultimate Punisher.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, because normal Punisher wouldn't be in the jail for too long. And then all of a sudden, the one guy is like, yeah, you're going to be blah, blah, blah. It was kind of a Rorschach moment where, you know, you're going to be the big bad Punisher. You're not better than the rest of us, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, boom, a Gray Hulk comes crashing through.
That's a terrifying thing that just happened.
Uh-huh.
Fucking and Hulk just runs through wherever you're at.
But the cool part was Punisher, as usual, Frank Castle, takes advantage of it, takes a tray, shoves it through the guy's thorax, and you see the spool. And I mean, oh, man, Mark, I love Mark Bagley's art. His one full-page panel of the Hulk just standing there, and everybody's, like, losing their, you know, needing a change of trousers, so to speak, you know what I mean? And, the guards are like, holy shit, it's the Hulk. It's the whole Hulk. And they're shooting at him, and he's coming through, and they're like, somebody call somebody. And they're calling Nick Fury. Nick Fury's just like, okay, what's going on? Well, the Hulk just smashed into Riker's Kerma Fury, literally.
Which one?
Yeah, which one? Does it matter? Well, some Hulks are smarter than others. The gray one, we think, that's from your part of the world. The gray one's a bit of trouble. Now, how did he smash into it or crash into it? Again, what difference does it make? Because if he smashed into it, he did it on purpose. But if he crashed into it, it means he was either punched, pushed, or thrown. That means there's someone or something else out there that we have to worry more about, the Hulk. Someone or something strong enough to toss the Hulk. Well, isn't the Hulk strongest one there is? That's the thing, though, isn't it? That's not necessarily true anymore. And you see green, old-fashioned green Hulk come smashing through.
Purple pants and everything.
Yep, and the two just go at it. You know, we get to see another variation of Gray Hulk versus Green Hulk. You know, maybe not as cool as how Peter David did it back in the day when he was writing, but still. And so all of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming out, trying to come in, you know, to stop the fight. The Punisher is taking full advantage of it, gets in a boat and leaves. He happens to look up, and you see the Hulks are fighting S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s army. And the Punisher looks up, and you see both Iron Man, Ultimate and Regular, come flying through. And he looks up, and you see pretty much all the remaining Avengers and X-Men, War Machine, all these other people that some of them I'm not familiar with, you know, the one that's from Mighty, the That was with the Luke Cage Avengers. The Blue, you know, I don't want to call him
Blue
Marvel, Centurion, but, you know, he was Blue Marvel.
Blue
Marvel. Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. But everybody comes running through War Machine, all of them are heading, and it's like to be continued. And so the next one's going to be, it looks like it's going to be an all-out brawl between the two Hulks. And I'm looking forward to this. Ultimate End, I think, yeah, it started off kind of weird because, again, like Ben said last time when he reviewed issue one, it was like, where did this fit in with blah, blah, blah while they were on, if they just came off the raft, blah, blah, you know, that. I think it was just because, you know, they were going to have some delays. I think the publishing schedule kind of got screwjobbed a little. But I think things are starting to finally streamline a little bit more. And I'm liking it. I really am liking it. I'm looking forward to issue three. Of course, it helps. And it's Bendis writing. He almost always did a good job on anything Ultimate. And Mark Bagley, I have been a fan of his since his run on New Warriors back in the 90s. And, you know... Yeah, I'm just glad to see him doing Spider-Man one more time. We're going to see the cover for the next issue is going to be Ultimate Cap and looks like regular Spider-Man going into battle against somebody. I'm on for it. I'm kind of weird to see how they're going to take out, you know, how they're going to get rid of the Ultimates, and, you know, in some way. I hope they don't job them out like back in, you know, use an old wrestling, you know, thing where they jobbed out all the old WCW wrestlers to all the old WWF wrestlers when they got bought out by, you know, by McMahon. Because it's kind of fitting, it's kind of looking that way. But, you know, you can't really complain about Hawkeye because he opened up his big mouth when he shouldn't have. When you have a legion of Thors who are serving Doom, who is pretty much God right now, says you're not going to do something, you might want to take, at least wait until they're out of earshot before you say stuff. Because now he became Cajun. He got crispy. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, the Ultimate Hawkeye was never one of my favorite characters.
Cinder got a hold of him.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, damn. You know, this is going to be something, what's going to happen with some of the Ultimate characters. It's going to be a bloodbath. But I'm looking forward to the next one. This was one of those, I was like, how are they going to do this? But I'm confident, especially since it's Bendis and Bagley. There we go. All right, and I got the uprights and all that type of thing. So 4 out of 5. So.
Yay!
Take it away with the story that haunted you as a child.
What, Krispy Kreme donuts and a
Korvac saga.
Oh, that one, okay.
Yeah, actually, good point with that what if.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what if is still fucking spooky. Anyway, the Korvac Saga 1 is yet another attempt at filling in the printing schedule because only 2 books actually deal with the whole Jonathan Hickman main storyline. Everything else is just an excuse to print stories to see what might be sellable afterward, like A-Force, you know? And, I say right now I'm not really feeling this book, you know? I'm really not. The art does not help. Dan Abnett wrote this, you know? And I'm not digging the story, and Otto Schmidt drew it, and I'm not feeling it. But either way, on with the show. So we have a disheveled, you know, hairy, homeless-looking dude sitting in a park somewhere in what appears to be Manhattan, talking about how he used to be different, and, you know, he lived the life that was a story, but not a story, and, you know, stars are missing and crap, and he hears this oncoming noise. And it's the Guardians on speeder bikes. You know, it's a good thing that Marvel bought, you know, the Disney license, because I swear to you, these things are freaking speeder bikes.
They look like the speeder bikes from Jedi.
They look like speeder bikes.
Hey, they can use them.
Yeah, I guess so, but it's like, oh, really? But anyway, so there's zoom, and, you know, they're discussing, you know, the upcoming target, and and Yondu's doing his whistle for the arrow control thing that, you know, they totally botched in that fucking movie. And, you know, the person sitting there, he's just kind of rambling and going on and talking about stuff. And, you know, as far out as they were, they managed to ID the person, and they got his name. It's Emil Blonsky.
And, oh, the Abomination.
Right. Woo-hoo. So they land, and Vance Astro, he walks up to him, and he's carrying Captain America's shield because, yay, Jim Valentino. he tries to talk the man into coming with him, you know, all nice and peaceful-like, and, you know, the guy, you know, he just kind of talks like, you know, he has no hope, and, you know, everything that was before is gone. There's no stars, so completely gone, and no one notices. All is lost, all is doomed. And then he, and then he, you know, turns into the Abomination and becomes a fight. So, you know, the Guardians, you got Charlie 27, you got Martin X, you got Nikki, you got Vance Astro and Yondu. They do the fight thing, and Martin X tries to freeze them and stops the fight, doesn't really end it. Everything else that they do bounces off of them. Yondu finishes them off with an arrow to the eye. So, apparently, they are the first responders, or, you know, the only responders for that whole section of Battle World that the Doom Regent protects. And who is the Doom Regent in this? Why, Michael Korvac, of course. Michael Korvac, who's married to the lovely Karina. Who's Karina? Oh, yeah, that was the collector's... Was it the collector? I think the collector's daughter. But no, that doesn't count now because, you know, all of that stuff is gone. So this is a whole new reality. So anyway, the two of them, you know, they're having, you know, a nice breakfast, whatever, you know, in... what appears to be Manhattan Island because there's the twin fucking towers. You know, it's been, what, 14 years? It's still weird seeing them. You know, it doesn't really hurt, but it's just weird seeing them. But either way, so they're having breakfast and, you know, they're discussing this upcoming meeting thing with Simon Williams, because apparently Simon Williams is also a regent in charge of some section of Battle World, and he's going to be paying a visit soon, and he's bringing, you know, his entourage, and oh, we must get everything prepared, and, you know, it's going to be so lovely, and they're sitting there, and it's like this whole, you know, Upper East Side, you know, brunch thing, and fucking Vance Astro shows up, and he's like, sir, we had a problem. It's happening again. Oh, my God. Oh, no. And the scene moves over to Starhawk, because Starhawk is the one who knows, but he's no longer the pseudo-proactive one who knows. He's now a monk/researcher working with this chick called Grace. And he's sifting through the reports, and you see that apparently there have been a couple of other incidents with people freaking out and talking about how this the stars are gone and blah, blah, blah. And then they end up having a bad reaction, and they got to be put down. And the girl questions him about, well, why do we have to respond in such a way as it is? And Starhawk kind of tells her that, well, we protect what's here because we have to protect and keep the world thinking that everything is what it is rather than what it might be from outside, you know, because it's dangerous outside, and dangerous stuff outside that gets inside can cause problems. We don't want problems. That's basically it, you know. So
you got 99 problems with bitch ain't one, apparently.
Yeah, really. And I mean, it's weird to see him in the manner that they have him here. You know, he's just kind of floating cross-legged, and he's moving papers in midair, and he's
Dawson?
Kinda. Thou seem with true future sight, you know. Think, you know, better yet, think the last airbender, think what's it, Monk Lagima.
Oh,
you
okay.
know,
yeah.
You must let go of the material things, all of that shit.
Yeah. Fuck that. I like my material things.
Agreed. So it's time for the party where Simon Williams comes up with his entourage. And guess what his entourage is? Take a wild guess.
Eternity?
Nope.
The Living Tribunal?
Nope.
Who is it?
The Avengers!
Oh. How
specifically, the 70s crew. You got Yellow Jacket, Moondragon.
Beast?
No Beast, but you have T'Challa. You got Hercules. You got Jocasta. You got...
Wonder Man?
Well, Simon Williams.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so used to him being referred to as Wonder Man.
Fair enough. You have Vision and his new outfit.
Really?
Vision in the new outfit. You've got Black Widow, and you have... Captain Marvel, the dude.
Oh, he's in this book, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna bring him back. I mean, they could. They could.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't do it because they're trying to. They're really trying to push Carol forward.
True.
I think that would be a mistake to do so.
True.
They
brought. They kind of brought him back before, but he was a Skrull, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Biggest fucking tease ever.
Yes, it was. I agree with you there. Either way, they show up. And, you know, they show up at this party and there's paparazzi and everybody's like, oh, look, it's Simon Williams and the Avengers. And meanwhile, the Guardians are looking at us like, oh, God, it's these fucking guys. So, you know, they make their way down and each of the Guardians has a one-on-one with a member of the Avengers. And you can kind of tell that there's a lot of friction there, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. They retire to the venue, and what's the name? Karina ends up having a discussion with the girl Gina, and Gina picks up that Karina is really not feeling all too well. You know, she's kind of walking odd, and you know her speech was a bit off-putting. Simon Williams goes on, and he's you know, when he walks up to the podium after being introduced by Michael, you know, when they come close to each other and they do the handshake, Simon tells him that, you know, he's not actually going to just immediately sign off on the accord that, you know, that Michael thought that he was going to sign because he had some things that he wanted to discuss. And then he starts going on and talking his speech to the people and blah, blah, blah. But while he did that, Karina retires to her room. And she sits down and she looks up and she goes, where's all the stars? And you actually see it's a black sky, you know? And that's where the book ended, you know?
Mm.
I think while I doubt this really makes any type of dent or actually matters at all to the greater scheme of the Hickman Secret Wars, I think this is a bit of an interesting track to take people simply coming to recognize that shit is false, you know, that they're in a false reality or at least one that's been made up and there's a problem with it. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, things go bad and they got to get it put down. That was interesting. But unfortunately, the rest of the story, the dialogue bored me, and the art, you know, the art looked like Sankiewicz. You know, he reminded me of Sankiewicz, and Sankiewicz.
You mean Sienkiewicz?
Sankiewicz.
It's Bill Sienkiewicz. It's even in his Twitter.
Sankiewicz.
Handle. It's Sienkiewicz.
Sankiewicz.
Is that who you mean, though?
The guy who drew that Elektra.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sankiewicz.
Sienkiewicz.
Sienkiewicz.
Whatever.
Exactly. You're not winning this one. his art just threw me off like that. You know, it just didn't – it didn't grab me. It didn't hold me. I didn't like it, you know. And it did feel – the art really did feel retro, as a matter of fact. It looked watercolory.
Oh.
So I don't hate watercolors, but I'm also not a big fan of it. See, I'm having a hard time even recommending this story, and I like the Guardians normally, but this book had me, even with the story, you know, even with that one tack that was actually kind of interesting, the rest of this was just because A, it's a side story, you know, which means it won't matter, you know, which means it's just a creative piece of stuff that, you know, it's an example of Marvel putting out a book just to put out a book because they need to put out a book because they got this story, you know, running that's mixed everything up. So we need a book to put out a book. I can't recommend it, you know. I give it a 2 warriors out of 5. There you go. And it's Dan Abnett. No, normally I like his stuff when he worked with the other one, but this blech. Blech, you can have it.
Well, can't win them all.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So I'm gonna end the show with a review on the a lot of people are calling it the best mini of Battleworld, of the Secret Wars tie-ins, and that is Thor's number one. This is following the Thor core. And I dismissed this book came out a week ago, and I dismissed it because I'm like, I got too many books. I don't fucking need a fucking pointless about the Justicars. But what this book is a fucking cop murder mystery. So basically you have, they speak in cop terminology, which is really, really funny and really interesting to me. And you have Ultimate Thor and Beta Ray Thor, that's what he's called, investigating a crime scene about this person who was murdered. And they each, it's kind of like the stereotypical sort of, like you have Ultimate Thor is the badass super cop. You know, he took down 13 Hulks in one night. And a whole bunch of other things. Beta Ray Thor is his partner. You have a young rookie. You have the female, which is Storm. You have the old racist dude who, I'm not sure if that's supposed to be Simonson's Thor because he has the helm from Simonson's Thor, but I'm not sure. But he's basically the old veteran. So basically,
wasn't he King Thor?
Yeah, it's King Thor. It's not old Thor. He's not. He doesn't have an eye patch or anything. He looks young, but he's just older. He has his Viking helmet on.
Did he have the beard?
He has a beard.
And that could be Simonson's Thor.
Yeah, he's the dick. He's kind of a sexist asshole. So basically, this is basically the fifth murder on five different planes, and so it's basically called an all thing in which somebody's going to lose their jobs. They're basically going to be made unworthy by Doom, and both Ultimate Thor and Beta Ray Thor's jobs are on the line, and also the Destroyer's here too. He's basically the muscle, and so you get some camaraderie between the Thors. There might be a relationship between Thor and Storm or Ultimate Thor. Also, there's a Groot Thor too. There's that, and. You get it feels like a police procedural. You get the partner buddies. You get this and that. You get a double page spread of Beta Ray Thor and Ultimate Thor taking down a league of Ghost Riders, which I think is really badass. They arrest them, an illegal burning outside. Again, it's all using typical cop terminology stuff, but just in this high fantasy setting. How do you think he'll be met on a scale of 1 to Fing Fang Foom? I'm hoping for a Krakoa, or we're lucky, a Gagoom, son of Goom. So just like, I just like shit like that. And old King, like old Thor, the I guess our Thor, the old man Thor with the destroyer armor. He's basically, what's his name? Peter something. Was he on NYPD Blue? He's on a current show called Blue Bloods right now. But he's like the commissioner.
Tom Selleck?
Yes, Tom Selleck, but a much angrier version of Tom Selleck. Is basically Tom Selleck telling him, you need to get your shit together because we have this quarantine referencing the big story. Also, Throg is the scientist in this CSI unit, which I find funny. So Throg is running forensics. And so what they run into, Ultimate Thor runs into conclusion that all the five people that were killed were all the same women, but they're unable to identify them. So it's got five different women across five different realms, and nobody's been able to track this person. Who the fuck is this guy?
Question.
Yeah.
How could they know it's the same woman if they couldn't identify her?
Let's see. I think it's DNA testing.
Okay.
Like, they couldn't identify her at the time of the scene of the crime, but just through analysis, they've identified, through DNA analysis.
That's fair.
So there's also a cop bar called Valhalla's Mead, and there's, I think you see, Olivier Coipel's Thor in the background, too. Beta Ray Thor basically says, well, I have a contact, with the underground. And so he goes to him, and he basically is like, I'm looking for the name of the woman, because despite genetics, they still haven't been able to find the name of the woman. They couldn't tell who it is yet. So all of us he's talking to seemingly this homeless person, and out of the box, this homeless person's box, comes Loki, looking like a homeless man, and then it cuts away to lightning flashing, and then cuts back to the Thors basically going to where the lightning struck, and Beta Ray Bill got fucked up, lying in a pool of his own blood in a dead alleyway, and it turns out the women being murdered are all different versions of Jane Foster. Beta Ray Thor can give anymore, he dies in Thor's arms. So now...
No!
Now, I found, for me personally, this shit was awesome. I didn't mention the art, but the art was by Chris Sprouse, who... he doesn't do a lot of American work, like mainstream stuff, but damn, his art looks pretty. Like, he captures that perfect masculinity of superheroes, that powerfulness about them, and it's deceptively simple, but yet when you start looking at it, it looks more like you can tell how much effort was drawn into each page. And I think he did the whole thing. No, he didn't ink it, but I think he drew and colored it too. No, he didn't color it either. But he did the main line work, and the line work is amazing. I fucking love Chris Bauss's work, and I didn't know he did this book. And he draws excellent Thors. I kind of want him to be the Thor artist from now on. Can he just draw Thor from now on, please? And then, of course, the mystery has me wanting to know, what's going to happen next. And all signs point to Loki. That Loki did this, because obviously he was the last one to see Bill alive. But I don't think it's just that. It can't be that simple. I mean, it might be, but I don't want to believe that it's that simple. That Beta Ray Bill killed Thor. So I think Loki might be using something else. And also, why is Jane Foster being targeted other than that she's connected to the Thors? I mean, she's not connected. She wouldn't be connected to the Thors in this universe. She wouldn't be. At least, maybe, I don't fucking know. I'm intrigued. I really enjoyed it, and it was the best tie-in I had read yet. It's self-contained, it was fucking good. And it fit right up my alley of me being a personal fan of cop dramas, and loving cop dramas, and just loving watching shows about cops. So if you're interested... And if you like procedural kind of stuff with, fun exchanging different personalities within a police unit, read this. Even if you don't like Thor, I think you'll like this. It was damn good, and I was surprised that I liked it as much. I give it a 4 out of 5. I give it my highest recommendation I can give to a title book. I'm going to keep with this until this goes. I want to see who the murderer is. I want to see what is the connection to everything. I want to see if the Illuminati is indeed confirmed in this game, in this book. So there you go. That's my review for Thor's number one.
You know what ticks me off with this, just like what ticks me off with basically everything about Hickman's Secret Wars?
What?
We'll never find out exactly what it was that Nick Fury whispered to Thor. to make him unworthy.
I don't know what happened has to do with this, but I guess, yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, yeah, we're probably never going to know that.
Exactly, and we'll never find out exactly how it is that Jane Foster managed to get to the moon to claim Mjolnir.
Well, that book is going to come back, so I'm pretty sure the answers are going to be in there.
Yeah, but they're not going to come back with the same storyline. You really think that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be female Thor, so yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it'll be the same.
One, I'm going to stop you because I'm not going to end the show on pessimism. Let's go ahead and end the show right now. So, with that being said, I have a lot of things to plug because I'm apparently all over the internet now, apparently.
You're exploding with all the Anna Sarkeesian hate.
I don't hate her. I just disagree with a lot of her.
You hate to agree with her.
No, because there's some things I do agree with her, but...
Okay, you'd like to disagree with her.
I don't like to disagree with her, but I really wish she wouldn't be so ignorant about her statements sometimes.
You like to not like her.
I guess, whatever. The point isn't, whatever, Anita can block me all she wants, but it doesn't stop the fact that I can still voice my opinion. I'm not a sexist asshole, just because I don't agree with the fact that of 100% of everything she says. She's not the fucking Pope, even though she claims to, even though she thinks she is. But either way, you can, if you want my review, my take on the Green Lantern side of things in the DC Universe, which just got a huge relaunch, head over to thegreenlanterncore.com, where I'm currently reviewing Green Lantern, Green Lantern Lost Army, Justice League, The Omega Man, and Earth 2 Society. So that's 5 books you're getting out of me a month. So that's a lot of books. So go check those out. I put my heart into them. And what I think about the Green Lantern line or things related to Green Lantern, not the Green Lantern line itself, because it's pretty much just 2 books at this point. But either way, so there you go. And also, head over to MarvelousIggy.wordpress.com, where we just wrapped up our month of Arkham review, or Dragon's working on his review for Arkham Knight. But you can check out my first 3 reviews on Arkham Asylum, City, and Origin. So you can check all 3 of those out as I look at those trilogy of games and how do they look in the grand scheme of things. And also fun movie commentaries at the same place. So at the time of this episode, World War Z just went live. So there's that. It was our most heated conversation yet between Dragon and I on the RPG commentary. So listen to that if you want to know more. It's going to get more robotic in the next month. So that's the only tease I'll give you. And finally, I'm an official Twitch streamer now. If you want to watch me stream on Twitch, I'm currently only streaming 1 game right now because that's all I have available to me. But you can go to twitch.tv/iggy2814 for my streams. I'm pretty much streaming only on Mondays now just because Wednesdays I'm doing things with Dragon. I'm writing my reviews. But Mondays definitely will be my... stream day. It's probably about 2 hours. I only stream about 2 hours, so I don't even stream that long. So yeah, that's all I got. Also, twitter.com/MarvelousIggy if you want to follow me on Twitter. That's a lot. I just realized I do a lot of things on the internet.
Yep, you've almost become a meme.
I'm not a.
Anyway, I don't have a whole lot to plug because
I'm not a life. I'm not a meme.
You're a meme.
I am not a meme. I'm not a joke yet. I'm not a brony.
Brony.
I am not a brony.
See, look how you defend it, brony.
But I'm not a. I've only seen 1 season of the show.
There you go, brony.
That doesn't make me a brony.
You've watched more than 5 minutes of a single episode. I'm calling
it's a
brony.
It's a fun cartoon.
Brony. See, look at that. Listen to you defend it, brony.
It's a fun cartoon.
Brony. Either. You secretly want that Iron Man Rainbow Dash crossover, don't you?
No, I don't. Look, I already got the My Little Pony crossover I want with Guile's theme, so I already got...
There you go.
Whatever.
Brony.
I've seen 1 season. 1 fucking season.
And you're a brony forever because of it.
Whatever. Plug what you want to fucking plug.
Okay, and a Sarkeesian. Anyway. I'd just like to say hello, Reddit. And I started adding our podcast to the podcasts section of Reddit. You know, they have a like weekly thread. So in order to keep things nice and orderly, you're supposed to put your podcast there. So please go there, find us, listen to us. And, you know, like I said in the write-up, that I needed to type it for Reddit. If you hear something that you like, don't like, or if you have any requests, you know, because, you know, we'll still do a book request if you're nice enough about it, you know, or give us a review, you know. Criticism. Positive, yeah, you can keep your negative. Fuck you. But, yeah, any positive criticism we'll eagerly accept. Give us a listen to and tell us what you think on the iTunes or over there at Iggy, you know, Iggy at WordPress dot whatever the hell he just said because I wasn't listening to it. And our website on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I think that's about – oh, yeah. And Phyllis is a doof. And Jonathan Courtwright is an old crusty man. Holla.
All right. We'll see you. We'll see y'all next week for episode number 206. Have a good week, everybody.
Peace. Okay.